Welcome to Disciple City Church Podcast. My name is Jerry Wagner, founder and lead pastor of Disciple City Church in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for tuning in. Our desire is to unleash a family of healthy disciple makers in Dallas to reach the world. God bless you as you listen and consider subscribing so that you can listen to new messages each week. Thank you and have a God-filled day.
Amen. I have a photo that I want to show you all. Can you bring that photo up on the screen? Anybody know what scene that picture is from? What movie that is from? Drumline, right? Everybody like Drumline, right? Nick Cannon with his weaved in braids or whatever, you know. Well, the reason why I like this movie is because it was probably one of the first movies that I got a chance to see, you know, the kind of HBCU bands get put on display, and it was just so phenomenal. But this scene right here depicts the first training day for the band. And Dr. Lee, who is the director of this band, he is giving his monologue on musicianship. And some of the band members, specifically freshmen, they showed up late. And Dr. Lee, in an anger tone, looked at one of the late members and said, "You, who is your roommate?" He says, "Devin Miles." So Dr. Lee walked off of his stage, walked over to Devin Miles, and after a couple of pleasantries, he says to Devin Miles, "Why are you late?" Why is he late? All right, that was good. Why is he late? He says, "I guess he overslept." He says, "Why didn't you wake him?" He says, "I'm not his mother, sir." Dr. Lee turns to the section leaders and says, "I asked Mr. Miles why his roommate is late, and he says he guessed he overslept. I asked him why he did not wake him. He said he is not his mother. Well, what's the concept? And what's the concept? One band, one sound. I watched this movie, and it began to cause me to think about the question that I wanted to propose to you all today, and it is simply this. Are we truly responsible for our siblings? Are we truly responsible for our biblical siblings? See, in Devin's case, he didn't think he was responsible for his roommate. And if I'm honest, I think oftentimes, specifically among the church, we don't think that we're responsible for one another. Now, before I dive into this question, I want us to acknowledge the profound significance of this question. This is not merely an intellectual question, but a matter of the heart that can shape lives, families, and society. In fact, this question was born from a dark place, and it has the power to reveal to us today whether we are responsible or irresponsible siblings. This question is a matter of life and death. This question will determine how we locally and how the church universally flourishes. If we can't answer this question, whether we are responsible for one another, then I think we will be nomadic individuals thinking that we can do it all by ourselves. So the question is, are we truly responsible for our biblical siblings? And to answer this question, I want to use the story of Cain and Abel. This is a negative story, but oftentimes you can look at negative pictures and get positive realities so that you don't repeat what they did. One of the things I used to pride myself on as a football player was I will not make the same mistake twice. There's other mistakes I will make, but that I won't make that mistake twice. And the reason why I had that mindset, because growing up in the environment that I grew up in, they used to do things that I like, I am not following that road. So I want to use the story of Cain and Abel to help us understand what it means to be a responsible sibling and what it means to truly be responsible for one another. But we must start in the negative first. So here's the first point. Irresponsible siblings begin with a careless relationship with God. All right? Irresponsible siblings begin with a careless relationship with God. In other words, irresponsibility does not start on a horizontal level. It actually starts on a vertical level. Your relationship with God vertically will determine your relationship with one another here on earth. How we approach God and how we apply His truth will determine how we care about other people. Let me prove this point to you. Last week, Easter Sunday, we were in the garden. And what we learned in the garden last Sunday was that the first spousal couple, Adam and Eve, wanted to be like God. They wanted to be on the same level as God, according to Genesis 3:4. And as a result, they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Now, looking at our first parents is an insight on looking at our first siblings. For the spousal sins of Adam and Eve is about to descend upon their firstborn, Cain. It's about to get intense for a couple of seconds. Cain is about to show you what it looks like post-fall. Cain is about to reveal to us what it looks like to be an irresponsible sibling in the garden. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "The man was intimate with his wife, Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, 'I have had a male child with the Lord's help.'" Now, when I look at that passage just on its face, I just immediately believe that she is saying that she has conceived a child with the help of the Lord. But then I looked at a different translation, the NET Bible specifically, and in the NET Bible, it said, or was translated, "I have created a man just as the Lord did." There's a discrepancy here. There's a difference in this translation. Why is the NET Bible, and the NET Bible translator are seminary profs. I took some of their classes. And I had to go behind the scene and I began to notice that the word help is not in the original language. That there is something disconnected in the preposition there. Now, there are two different arguments. Some believe it's positive, some believe it's negative. I'm on the negative side, and here's why. When I look at this text, the first thing that I notice is that it says, "I have created a male." Not God has created a male, but I have created a male. The subject in this is not about what the Creator has done, it's about what the woman has done. Let me keep digging. Secondly, the reason why I think this is a boastful attempt and not an acknowledgement that God has helped them, if you look throughout Genesis, there is a constant theme of God telling humans, "This is what I am going to bless you with," and humans said, "No, I'm gonna do it myself." Abraham and Sarah, does that ring a bell? God said, "I am going to produce a seed in you." Sarah Lives like, nope, we got this. The Tower of Babel. God says, I am going to be ruler. Nope, we're going to reach heaven. We're going to reach God. The more and more I look at this, the more it is consistent with the original narrative. I want to be like God or on the same level as God. Here's the third reason why I believe this is a boastful attempt to say me and God are on the same level. When Cain kills Abel, she gives birth to a new son, and his name is Seth, and it means replacement. But when he is born, listen to her words. God has given me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. Not I have brought forth, not I have created, but God has brought forth a child. And here's my last one. There's a word play on the name Cain. The word Cain comes from the Hebrew word Cain. But the word create is Kana. The reason why the author wants you to hear the same word, the same language, is so that you understand that Cain is about to receive the attitude of his mother. And oh, by the way, Adam is not there again. Why is this important? Why do you have to put these lenses on before you enter into the story of Cain? Cain and Abel. Here's the reason. Cain's irresponsible posture comes from his mom not offering him back to God. I use the word offering for a reason. Cain's posture comes from his mom not offering him back to God, but using her son as a picture to show that she is on the same level as the Creator. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to stay here alone. Sometimes irresponsible parents can create irresponsible children. Sometimes irresponsible churches can create irresponsible disciples. Irresponsibility is something that can cascade down from the top. We see it in the garden. Now we are seeing it in the sons. Cain, who was created, is now about to reveal his heart. Look at verses 2-5. It says, now Abel became a shepherd of the flock, but Cain worked the ground. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portion. The Lord had regarded Abel and his offering, but he did not regard for Cain, his offering. Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. Cain is mad. Cain is upset. The climactic moment in the story has now begun to turn. Cain is upset that God has rejected his offering. Now, once again, there's a lot of theology around this text because we're constantly trying to figure out why did God reject Cain's offering? And guess what? The author doesn't deal with it. And the reason why the author doesn't deal with it is because he's trying to get his readers to understand this is not an offering issue, this is a heart issue. It is not about what was acceptable. It was about how they approached God, because irresponsible siblings have a disconnected relationship with God. Can I prove this point to you? The word offering comes from the Hebrew word menkah. Right? If you say it strong enough, you can get some slobber on the back of somebody's neck, right? So let me say it because I'm farther away. Menkah, right? Menkah is from the Levitical code that describes acceptable offerings. Cain's offering is acceptable. If you go to Leviticus, not only does he accept animals, but he also accepts grain. He also accepts fruit. Cain's offering is acceptable according to the Levitical code, right? So both of the young men bringing to God, their offering is acceptable. So then what is the issue then? It's their approach. It's how they approach God. Watch this. Cain gave from a posture of duty, but Abel gave from a posture of delight. See, when Cain gave, it was from a posture that I am just going to give God something. But when you read Abel's posture, he not only gave God the first and the best, but he even added to his offering. That's why when you go to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, it said Abel gave with faith, Cain did not. The issue is about how they approach God, not what they were given to God. Here's the second point I want to pull out in approach. Notice when it talks about what's being accepted and what's being rejected, it says the Lord God had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. Before he talked about the offering, he exalted the person. Because the reader is trying to get us to understand it is not about the offering, it is about the posture and the heart of the person. Because irresponsible siblings often have irresponsible and careless relationship with God. Why is all this important? Cain was careless with God, but Abel was faithful to God. And what happens is, the reason why we have so many careless people in the church is not because of their horizontal relationships. We have a lot of careless people in the church is because of their vertical relationship. I'm going to continue to bag on that. You cannot care about people if you do not care about God. Cannot care about people if you do not care about God. God rejects Cain's offering because he had a heart that was in opposition towards him. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Look at verses 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7, Cain is upset. And not only is Cain upset, but I love that the Lord pursued him. Here's what it says. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you furious? And why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Two things that we see as God pursues Cain. The first thing he does is assures him, Cain, if you do right, there is blessings waiting on you. If you do what I desire and not what you desire, then I have blessings not only for your brother, but also for you. This is what God is communicating. Like, the blessings are not short. I have something for you, but you have to do it my way, not your way. See, irresponsible people only think about themselves, not about the desires of God. Here's the second thing that God does. He warns him. Before Cain falls, he warns him. He tells him, Cain, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. The imagery here is an animal ready to pounce on them. It gives you the imagery as the serpent in the first garden that's sitting and waiting, waiting to bring deception. Cain, God says to Cain, you must master your desire and do what I desire and not what you want. And if you do not, sin is crouching at the door. Irresponsibility is a choice. We choose to be responsible or we choose to be irresponsible. We choose to make ourselves available and caring and hospitable for others, or we choose not to. It is something that we're going to have to master. It is something that we're going to have to face because sin is constantly crouching at the door. And here's the truth. When biblical siblings are careless with God and their relationship with Him, guess what? They're going to be careless with their siblings. Irresponsible siblings continue to act carelessly towards their siblings. Oh, here's the twist. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Cain was mad at God. Why is he hurting his brother? Because vertical issues will spill out among horizontal issues. People who are hurt in the church oftentimes hurt other people. I read a shirt that was on Facebook, and the shirt read, "I left the church, I didn't leave God." I left the church, I did not leave God. That does not make biblical sense. But because you have been hurt, and because you are angry, and because you are upset, your vertical issues now become horizontal issues. Now, let me be clear. In this passage, this is about envy and jealousy. And oftentimes when we hear this, we think, man, I'm not envious, I'm not jealous, but your desire might not match God's demand. Cain is mad. And because Cain does not care about God, his carelessness spills out on his brother. Listen to this quote. "The opposite of love is not hate. It is use. Use is the abuse of love. In fact, it betrays love. When we use another person, we place their needs below our own. But worse yet, we place their value and dignity below ours." This is a picture of what it looks like to be an irresponsible sibling. You do not care about the consequences of your decision because it is about you and you alone. In other words, irresponsible siblings don't see people, they see projects. Irresponsible siblings, they present out of convenience, not out of concern. That the only reason why they would show up is if it's based on their convenience, not the concern for their sibling. Cain is giving us this picture that he is more concerned about his desire and what he believes he deserves, as opposed to what God has just warned him about and saying, you have to master your desire. So God pursues Cain. Look at verses 4 through 9, chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, and it says this. "The Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' He says, 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's guardian?' Old King James, Miss Annie, 'Am I my brother's keeper?' What Disciple City Church wants you to hear is, am I responsible for my brother? Then he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed, alienated from the ground that opens his mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. But Cain answered the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Cain begins to reveal to us, what does it look like to be an irresponsible sibling? Here's a couple I want to throw out. An irresponsible sibling distanced themselves from their sibling. See, this is why Cain says, I don't know where he is. Right? Where's your brother? See, irresponsible siblings create distance. In fact, if you continue to read the text, Cain is so upset and he's so in opposition towards God, he does what his parents does and he goes and hide. Irresponsible siblings are distant. Irresponsible siblings hide. They don't want to be known and they don't want to know you. Here's the second thing. Irresponsible siblings do not take responsibility for their siblings. That's why he says, am I my brother's keeper? Am I his guardian? Now the answer to that question is yes. We are responsible for one another. But Cain is so enthralled with being the firstborn and having the first blessing and getting what he believes he deserves, he says, I'm not taking responsibility for nobody but myself. Here's the third one. Irresponsible siblings do not take responsibility for their sin, for their own actions, for their decisions. That's why he's saying, I don't know where he is. If you would just accept it, what I gave you, God, this wouldn't have happened. Remnants of the first garden. When God does bring judgment upon him, the first thing he says in verse 30, this punishment is too great. And in my mind, I'm like, you just killed the man. Like, what is greater than that? You get a chance to walk around alive, but you just killed somebody. But irresponsible siblings do not take responsibility for their sins. Why is it so important for the church to be responsible siblings? Because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. See, responsible siblings recognize that being responsible to others helps me mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Even the mental health institution knows this to be true. Let me quote something for you. Social connection can lower anxiety and depression. It helps regulate our emotions, lead us to higher self-esteem and empathy, and actually improves our immune system. By neglecting our need to connect, we put our own health at risk. This is in the medical field that is saying that connection and community is a matter of life and death. Why? Because this is how God designed us. This relational being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, created humanity. Let us make man. We cannot do this without each other. In fact, I stumbled upon the Hebrew word for woman again when it talks about the woman was the helper. We studied this. We didn't preach the whole sermon on Ezer, right? We know this word. And the definition that I thought was that it meant warrior. But then I kept looking and I heard a podcast that Ryan sent me. The word Ezer also means deliverer. See, when Adam was without a helpmate, God said it was not good. And he needed something to come to deliver him, to rescue him, to protect him. And he sent a woman. The reason why that is important for us to know is because our protection does not come by walls or cities. Our protection comes from humanity. We are the ones who are called to be an active community together. We are the ones who help navigate empathy and anxiety and depression. The same church that hurts you is also going to be the same church that heals you when you come back. You cannot get away from community. So how do we take responsibility for being biblical siblings? And from this text, he only gives us two things. The first one is we start with a faithful relationship with God, right? If we're going to take responsibility for our siblings, it has to start with your relationship with God. In fact, Abel is a type of Jesus. When Abel's blood was crying out from the ground, guess what? When Jesus spilled his blood, it's so that we might be reconciled back to God. If we are going to be the type of siblings who love one another, it starts with a faithful relationship with God. Like I said earlier, you cannot care about people if you do not care about God. You cannot care about people if you do not care about God. I didn't know what it was like to have a family until I became a follower of Jesus. I was walking the other day and I sent this text to, I think it was PJ. And I said, man, I didn't know leaving a dysfunctional family, I was going back into a dysfunctional family. I didn't know leaving a dysfunctional family from a biological standpoint that I was going into a dysfunctional family in regards to the church. And one of my friends texts back, well, if you'd have known that, you probably wouldn't have joined. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. But in order for me to overcome some of these dysfunctions, I hold on to the truest brother, who is Jesus. It starts with a faithful relationship with God. It starts with obedience to him. Here's the second and last thing. It continues with a caring relationship with siblings. This is a choice that you have to make every day. It is a choice that you have to make every day to be a caring sibling to those that God have entrusted you with. Every day. Every day you are faced with time boundaries. You are faced with energy boundaries. You are faced with resource boundaries. And you're going to have to make a choice every day of your life. Am I willing to connect with my siblings even when it's not convenient, even when it's not comfortable? There are two things that Tamir and I are doing in this season. The first thing that, one thing that I'm doing, the second thing is what we are doing as a family. One thing that we are doing is we are opening up our house for people to come and live with us. We are opening up our homes because our guest room is a place that we don't use often, and there are people and brothers among us that probably need a place to stay, and Tamir and I said, we're going to open that up. Now watch this. We have done this many times. It is inconvenient. It is stressful, right? It is limiting. Like our whole family, we got two stories. Our whole family got to go on the second floor now. And if you like to walk around your house a certain way, you can't do that when you let people move in. Look at the people who know, they know, right? dishes, food is going to be taken, all those different things. But I care more about those people than my convenience. Here's the second thing that I have personally said. I read this thing on like how to navigate kind of this Japanese ritual of just discipline. And it says, set 25 minutes aside to study and take a break. 25 minutes to study, take a break. 25 minutes to study, take a break. So what I said that I would do is I would use those 25 minutes for any brother that would say, hey, pastor, I just want to hang out. I just want to talk. I just want to do. I said, I'm going to set 25 minutes aside just to connect with them. Right? It's a daily choice. Being a responsibility starts with being faithful to God and careful with the siblings that God has entrusted you. You can't hang out with everybody. That's why proximity matters. That's why scheduling matters. Everybody got to eat in here, right? Invite somebody to eat with you. Most of us work out in here, right? Hey, guess what, y'all? I am benching right now 245. I'm going to 250. I'm doing it 30 times right now. My goal is to get to 275. But in order for me to bench 275, don't you know I need somebody there? Ryan and all of his 130 pounds is sitting there like, I got you, pastor. I got you, bruh. Now, he bigger than that. He bigger than that, right? But the goal is, before he goes on sabbatical, I got to bench 275. And the days that I don't feel like working out, when I see that baby face assassin, like I'm ready to go, I just be like, oh, all right, I'm good. I'm good. And vice versa. When he doesn't feel like working out, when I'm in there and I either have this black hat on or I have a hoodie. And when I put my hoodie on, I go into my Luke Cage mode, right? And when I'm in my Luke Cage mode, bro, nobody can stop me. And last week, man, I was on that 245, and I'm like, And our favorite word in the gym is focus. And I scream it as loud as I can. He gets nervous, and then he puts that thing out, man. That's what we do. Monday, nobody want to work out. Serious, am I lying? That Cobra back. No, I'm just playing. But. I know this text was heavy and I knew it was gonna be negative and all that stuff or whatever, but all I'm saying, can you dream with me for a minute? What if every one of us was responsible for each other? How would that change our church? There would be no need among us, right? There would be protection among us. Depression and anxiety will begin to go down. And then the world on the outside will see how we love one another, and they too will want to be a part of this community. It starts with us being faithful to God, and it continues with us being careful with one another. And when we do that, we not only break the curse of Cain, but we validate the blood that was sacrificed in Jesus. And so as we contemplate what it means to be responsible siblings, you got to ask yourself some questions. What choices do I need to make to give room for people in my life? You have to ask yourself, is my vertical relationship with God healthy so that it might be healthy towards other people? You have to ask yourself, is my anxiety, my depression, outside of clinical issues, a result of me hiding and being secluded from the men and women that God has entrusted to us?
Thank you again for listening to the Disciple City Church podcast. Until we meet again, Shalom.